Father, we indeed thank you for being just who you are. We thank you that indeed Mary didn't really know all of that, but indeed Jesus did cleanse the lepers. He did walk on water. He did feed 5,000. He did give sight to the blind. He did heal the sick. He did raise people from the dead. He did save our souls. And he walks with us and talks with us even right now. Some 2,000 years later, he is still with us. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He is indeed true to what he told his disciples in Matthew 28. He said, when he told them to go and make disciples, he said, don't forget, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So thank you, dear Jesus, for being here with us. Thank you for being God with us. Speak now, dear Jesus, as we look again at your birth and at how indeed it is wise to seek you and to worship you. To speak to our hearts and our minds now, dear God, through your word of God, the Holy Scripture, dear God, speak to our hearts and our minds. That we might leave her all the more, just like those brothers on the Emmaus Road when they talked with Jesus in the Bible. So they said to one another, did not our hearts burn as we talk with the Messiah? So, dear God, burn in our hearts even right now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise for Mary, did you know, and Oh Holy Night. So we thank God for our choir, our youth and our regular choir. And also we thank God for Sister LaShonda and Sister Ford leading us in song this morning. You know, it's many ways to worship the Lord, and songs such as those two songs with those great biblical and godly and Christ-centered lyrics. And we thank God for the voices of LaShonda and Sister Ford. That's worship. We're worshiping, saints. We're worshiping. Amen. We're worshiping. I asked you to stand this morning. I knew I was going to miss somebody when I was looking around, scanning the congregation. Sister Howie has her daughter here with her this morning. Amen. So we thank, and a friend also as well. We thank God for all of y'all that are here. Our love fellowship members and visitors and guests, we thank God that you have come to worship our newborn king, to worship the Christ with us this morning. Rather than as Deacon Hardaway prayed earlier, you know, that temptation to maybe stay at home and do whatever. But, you know, on Christmas Day, the day that we celebrate Christ, I said, man, no better place to be than in the house of the Lord. I got a little trouble. A friend of mine that I know in East Brainerd, he pastors a church out there, Concord Baptist Church, a good church, a good solid church. He's a good brother. Matter of fact, years ago, Love Fellowship journeyed over there. And I was coming when Ariana was driving me to, we was coming to Sunday school this morning. You know, their parking lot was empty. And they usually have quite a few cars. I said, I know he didn't cave in and not have church service today. But on their sign, they said, you know, service at 10:30. I was like, okay, I was getting real trouble. And I said, man, even the solid church is shutting down on Christmas Day. Something is wrong. But we're glad to be here in the house of the Lord. And I promise you that if you listen fast this morning, I might preach fast this morning. So you got to listen hard and listen fast this morning as we deal with this text. A very familiar text. Matthew chapter 2. And you know, we've been reading Luke 2 all month, of course, purposely and prayerfully. That awesome passage has really gotten into your heart and mind this morning, this month, rather, Luke 2. But we're in Matthew 2. Once again, like I said, it's good to see all of y'all here this morning. Good to see Sister Nawana right there. Good to see you this morning. Good to see all of y'all this morning. Matthew chapter 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Scriptures. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child, the young Christ child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And once again, verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. I'm going to preach this morning from a simple topic. It's wise to seek and worship Jesus. It's wise to seek and worship Jesus. You may be seated. It's wise to seek and worship Jesus. It's wise, very wise, to seek and worship Jesus. You know, there are many wise things that you and I can do and should do in life. I'll just list a few of those. It's wise to plan for the future. We're about to go into 2017, so it's wise to kind of plan for what you're going to do in 2017. It's wise to give to the Lord, the three T's, your time, your talents, your treasures. That's wise. It's wise to try to save a little money. Don't spend everything you make. It's wise to try to save. Most of us in here probably heard this if we grew up in somewhat of a functional home. Our parents often would tell us, Brother Keith, be wise when you choose your friends. Be wise of who you hang around with. I listened to that sometime, but I didn't listen to that as well as I should have. I should have listened to that a little better. Be wise who you hang around. Be wise. It's wise for our young people. If you're in school, it's wise to do your homework. It's wise to study for your test. On your job, it's wise to work as unto the Lord. The scriptures tell us to work as unto the Lord rather than to man. So it's wise to do those things. If it was raining outside, but it's not, but if it was raining outside, it would be wise to take an umbrella with us when we're going someplace. I mean, there are a lot of things I can mention this morning from this pulpit that would be wise for you or me to do. But the wisest thing that any of us can do in here this morning, the wisest thing that you or I can do this morning is to seek Jesus and to worship him. That's the most wise thing that any of us can do, to seek Jesus, to be a seeker of Jesus and a worshiper of Jesus, a worshiper of God. So it is this morning in this text before. It's a very classic text. I've preached it before. It's been a few years, but I've preached it before. You all probably heard it, probably read it. And so when we dealing with a text that's kind of familiar, it's often, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I've heard that, I've read that. And if you're not really listening, you'll miss some nuggets this morning. It's still the word of God. It's active. It's sharp in any two-edged sword. I mean, anytime we read it, oftentimes we see new stuff that we did not see in it before. So even this morning, the first two verses, we see that these wise men were traveling from the east. They were coming to see the Christ child. The Bible says there was a star that was leading them to come and see Jesus. These wise men, they were magi. They were astrologers. They studied the stars. And they, going back historically, they even knew a little bit about the Old Testament scriptures when Daniel was in captivity down in Babylon. That's really how these group of people kind of got insight into that maybe this newborn king would be born. And so even Daniel, way back then, everything God does, he does it for a reason. Even Daniel, when he was in captivity, most people seem to think that he often has exposed these guys, because they weren't Jewish guys, exposed them to the scriptures so they knew a little bit about the new coming king. And so here it is, God gives this star and begins to lead them to Christ. It's kind of like an old time GPS system. He leads them to Christ. And so here it is. They show up. They show up. And you know, if you're seeking God, if you're seeking God, if you're seeking Christ, it's not like Jesus is playing hide and go seek. If you're seeking Jesus, you can find him. If you're seeking God, God will lead. Matter of fact, if you and I are seeking him, he's really drawing us in the first place. It's him drawing us in the first place. But if you're seeking the Lord, he will find you. He will meet you. Just ask the Ethiopian eunuch, in the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, he had come, from Ethiopia. He had come to Jerusalem to worship God. And the Bible said he was in his chariot and he was reading the Bible. So he had come to worship, but he didn't have a personal relationship with God. And he had come to worship, and here comes God sends Philip, to go up to his chariot. And Philip said, "What are you reading?" And the Ethiopian said, "I'm reading out of Isaiah." He was reading about Christ going to the cross. And then, Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "No, I don't understand it. I'm seeking God. I'm seeking to worship him, but I don't understand it." And then Philip said, "Well, let me explain it to you." And so Philip began to explain the scriptures to him. And guess what? The Ethiopian eunuch who had come to worship God, was seeking Christ, he got saved. He got born again. If you seek the Lord, he can be found. I could go on and on with all kind of biblical accounts. A guy like a Cornelius, who was a devout man who sought to worship God. God sent Peter to share the gospel with him, and he got saved. Lydia, who was a seller of purple, she was a worshiper, but really didn't understand Christ fully. And God sent Paul and the brothers to go and share the gospel to her. If you're seeking the Lord will indeed send somebody across your path. He will draw you to himself. You will be found. You will be able to meet him one-on-one. So it's just wise for you and I to seek him. It's wise for you and I to worship him. So these brothers came, and let me clear up a little bit of our Christmas things that we do. It wasn't necessarily three wise men. I know we even sing that in a song, three wise men. It might have been three, but quite possibly it was probably more than three. The Bible never says how many there were. That's kind of irrelevant anyway. But they bought three gifts. That's why we often say three. But they weren't necessarily just three wise men. But they were wise men, and they journeyed to come and worship Jesus. They came to worship Jesus. And verse 3 even says, of your text says, when Herod heard this about they were coming to worship this newborn king, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Many of you may know why he was troubled. Herod was an insecure king. He wasn't really even in the lineage. He really should not have been the king of the Jews. So he was insecure in his kingship. And as a matter of fact, the history books tell us that he was so insecure that on one occasion, anybody that had a threat, anybody that he thought was a threat to his throne, he would take care of him. Matter of fact, a wife of his, he had her killed. Some of his sons, he had them killed. He was a crazy, insecure individual. And so the Bible says that he heard it, and that troubled him, and not just him, but all Jerusalem with him. So Herod was troubled that he heard about this newborn king. See, he's the king, so who was this new king in town? Who was this newborn king? And so he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, because they said, "Man, this fool," and I don't use that word lightly, "but this fool is going to do something crazy." So we are troubled as well. And Herod was so troubled, as you read on through the text, he actually even put out an edict, and he actually had many babies in the Jerusalem and surrounding areas slaughtered and killed, because he said, "I want to wipe out this newborn king before he comes and steals my kingdom." So Herod, he was troubled. All of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And look at what Herod did in verse 4. Look at what he did. Look at what he did. He did a very good thing, a very wise thing. He gathered all the chief priests, verse 4. And scribes, all the religious leaders, the people who know a little bit about the Bible, he called them together and inquired of them where the Christ would be born. Where would this newborn king be born? So he called in the scribes and the religious leaders, the priests, the people who knew the word of God. He called them in and asked them, "Where would this Christ, where would he be born? Because I don't know. I don't know where he would be born. So you religious leaders, you know, the deacons, the elders, the pastors, tell me where this guy, this newborn Christ would be born." Listen to what they said. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you Bethlehem," this is the prophet Micah chapter 5 verse 2. They quote him from the Bible. Bethlehem, the land of Judah, not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Couple things in this text, a lot in this text. Now King Herod, we know he had his issues. We know as we look through the text and walk through the text, he's not really sincere about his desire to go worship Jesus. But the thing that really troubles me about this text is these priests and scribes who knew the Old Testament, who were leaders in the church, who knew where Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. The prophet had said it. They did not go and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. They were religious, but not righteous. They knew the word of God, but they didn't act on the word of God. Here it is. They had in their hands. They were able to tell King Herod, this is where Jesus will be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And you know, I would love this if right after that, they said, so the priest and the scribe, they went to look for Jesus, but it's not in the text. They don't go looking for Jesus. You all know most of the religious people, most of the leaders of the Jewish people rejected Christ when he came. Because he didn't fit the description they wanted for the Messiah. They primarily wanted the Messiah is going to come and overthrow the Roman government and give them freedom physically. But Jesus came to give us freedom spiritually. He came to overthrow the spiritual government, if you will. So the scribes and Pharisees, they did not go look themselves. They did not go look. Beloved, out of this text, let me give you some comfort, extra comfort this morning. I think we got the church cry out here this morning, so we all should be secure in this. But just in case people who try to doubt or question the Bible, the Word of God, and that's what those who are against Christians, those who are following false religions, those who are running along with Satan, if you will, they always want to try to question the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, when the devil showed up, what did he show up doing? He asked Eve, did God truly say? Did he really say, don't mess with this fruit? Did he really say that? So it is today. Sometimes people try to make you doubt the Bible. I'm sure you all know. I know people who try to say, well, you can't trust that Bible. It was written thousands of years ago. Man, it's changing. No, the devil is a lie. I can trust the Word of God. I will stand on the Word of God. I will go to my grave believing and holding on to the promises of God. This what was just quoted. What the priest just quoted out of Micah chapter 5 verse 2, Micah 5 and 2, was written in the 8th century B.C. Wait a minute, let me say that again. This was written in the 8th century B.C. The 8th century before Christ was born. It was written locked down in black and white clothes. It was written where Jesus would be born. And guess what? About 800 years later, about 800 years after it was written down, guess what? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You can trust the word of God. You can trust the word of God. Just like the prophet Isaiah 7, when he said he's going to be born of a virgin. That was written roughly 700 years before Jesus was born. Guess what? He was born of a virgin. You can trust the word of God. You can trust the word of God. Every prophecy, everything in the word, everything in this book has either already been fulfilled or it will be fulfilled. Everything in the word of God will be fulfilled. You know, matter of fact, I stand on the word of God. I stand on the word of God. You can trust the word of God. But watch this, even more importantly, you can trust the word of God, but you also can trust the God of the word. You can trust the God of the word. If he told you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, guess what? He will never leave you nor forsake you. If he told you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If he told you to be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and then he will send you the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. He'll send you the peace of God. You can trust the God of this word. So here it is. God gives them a promise 800 years or so before it happened. This is where my son is going to be born. There are so many. I think next year I'm going to do that. There are so many Old Testament prophecies that Christ fulfilled that were written hundreds of years before Christ existed. That's what we call internal evidence that the Bible is true. Things that were written before they happened, and then they happened just like they said it would. Oh, y'all don't hear me. They happened just like they said it would. It was even prophesied about what Herod would do for his killing all these babies. That's why Jesus had to flee into Egypt. The Bible prophesies that. So you can trust, beloved, you can trust the word of God. I said, you can trust the word of God. So this, the latter part of verse 6 says, this ruler, talking about Christ, not only is going to be a ruler, but also be a shepherd. You might want to write that down if you're taking notes. Jesus is a ruler, but he's also a shepherd. He's a ruler, meaning he's sovereign, he's king, he's in charge, but he's also a shepherd. The ruler kind of evokes thoughts of Jesus being strong and maybe even perhaps stern. He's a ruler. He rules. He rules and super rules. But not only that, he's a ruler who also shepherds. The shepherd aspect speaks to the imagery of tender care. Jesus is a ruler, but he's also a shepherd. Matter of fact, Psalm 23, you ought to be able to say this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water because he's my ruler and my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because he's my ruler, because he's my shepherd, I shall fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, surely. See, you can trust the God of the word. Now, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because he's my shepherd, because he's my ruler. Not only that, not only that. He is with me, his rod and his staff, they will comfort me. The Lord, he is indeed ruler and he is shepherd. So they tell King Herod, this is where he's going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. We know this because God told us this through the prophet Micah, some in the 8th century BC, some 700 or 800 years ago. We were told this and we've learned this through the years that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So look at what King Herod said here in verse 7. It's almost comical. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, since that's where the child was going to be born. The prophet Micah said that he sent them on to Bethlehem. Then he said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, when you found Jesus, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Lying, lying. As the kids, you say, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, King Herod, he fit in really good with our politicians today. He's just lying. He doesn't want to worship the baby Jesus. He wants to kill Jesus. But he says, go tell him, come back, that I might go worship him. You know, so we can call him a fake worshiper. But once again, let's not forget the scribes and the priests who were the religious leaders. They should have been seeking Jesus. They should have been coming, Sister Howard, to worship Jesus. But they themselves were not worshiping Jesus. Even though they were religious and they were in church, they weren't worshiping Jesus. You know, many people come to church for different reasons. You know, everybody that comes to church, this is where you fit in this morning. Everybody that comes to church doesn't necessarily come to worship Jesus. Not everybody. Everybody that comes to church don't necessarily come to worship Jesus. Just like King Herod, he had a different agenda. He didn't want to worship Jesus. Just like even, unfortunately, the religious leaders, most of them didn't worship Jesus. Some people come for different reasons. Some people come just because they have to come. That would probably be me growing up, not every Sunday, but I often tell people it's because of my parents. I had a drug problem growing up because of my parents. They drug me to church all the time. And I didn't appreciate it that much back then, but now looking back on it, I do appreciate it. But I was at church most of the time, especially for, you know, the 11 a.m. service. I used to really like Sunday school, but at 11 a.m. service, I was just pretty much there because I had to be there. Maybe that's some of you this morning. I don't know. Maybe that's, I'm glad you're here, but you got to ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I in the house of the Lord this morning? Some people come just because out of routine. You know, that's kind of what we do on Sunday. That's not a bad routine, but that's kind of what we do every week. We go to church. That's what we do. We go to church, and we go to the grocery store, then we go do this, and we go out to eat, and then we go ahead, and we go back home. That's what we do. Some people go for different reasons. Some people go, watch this, some people go, now God, He is in the blessing business. God does bless us in many ways. But some people go kind of playing what I call the spiritual lottery. They go and say, okay, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to go to church. Now, God, you see me in church. you got to bless me now. I'm in church. So some people go and kind of play what we call the spiritual lottery. Some people go out of obligation in a sense. Just speaking transparently, I kind of probably fit in that in my 20s. Cause I remember I prayed in college that God would give me a job. And you know, I was in Arkansas and God blessed me with a job at TVA. And I was like, God, if you give me a job, I'll begin to follow you. So after I got that job, I didn't give my life to Him. I should have then. I did a few years later. But because I knew God blessed me with that job, I was like, I gotta go to church. God gave me that job. He'll take that job from me if I don't go to church. So I went to church kind of out of obligation, kind of felt out of obligation. I know none of y'all fit in none of those categories. But many people go to church for many different reasons. I'm saying it's great to go to church, but make sure all of us, we should come to church, watch this, to seek Him and to worship Him. That's all I'm saying. Be like the wise people. When we come to church corporately, let us come together to seek Him and to worship Him. And that flows out of doing it daily throughout our lives, throughout this week, you know, seek Him and to worship Him. The wise man, it's wise to seek Him, to seek a relationship with Him, a walk with Him, and it's wise to worship Him. Are y'all with me this morning? It's wise to seek Him and to worship Him. Don't be like King Herod. Don't be like the religious leaders. Be like the wise men in the text. Be like these wise men who came to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, verse 9 and 10, when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star. Somebody say star. The star. That was God's GPS system, once again, for these young guys. The star appeared. And you know, technology has really messed all of us up, hasn't it, in a sense. Even in Chattanooga, where I know where most places are, I get my little self in the car here in Chattanooga, and I'm going somewhere maybe I haven't been before, and it may be on a street I know about and all that, and I could probably just find it on my own. I pull up my GPS system on my phone. It's okay. How do I get to this address? Put it up, and then I'm gone. I don't really need to do that. I don't really need that. Technology can get to be, you know, that's just a side note, but technology can mess us up sometimes. But God gave them this star. The star was their GPS system. The star reappeared, and they had seen it in the east, and it went before them till it came, listen, and it stood over where the young child was. Once again, beloved, as you and I seek God, this is a very good picture for us. As we seek God, God will give us everything that we need to get to God, to get to Christ. These brothers needed direction. They needed this star, and this star led them right to where Jesus was born. And then they saw the star, and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They rejoiced when they saw Jesus. Once again, beloved, as you and I seek Jesus, God gives us all that we need as we seek Him. You know, He gives us His Holy Spirit who's inside of us. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truths. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit fills us with good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Everything that we need as we seek the Lord, God gives it to us. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So this morning, you want to make sure you seek Him for salvation. You want to make sure you seek Him for peace. You want to make sure you seek Him for joy. You want to make sure you seek Him for a closer walk with Him. You want to make sure that you know, Jesus said, I'm knocking on the door. He said, if you just open up your heart, open up that door, I'll come into you. I'll sup with you. I'll dine with you. I'll commune with you. Jesus said, I'm just waiting to spend some time with you. So as you and I look for Jesus, seek Jesus, He's not hiding. He's not ducking and dodging. Now it's easy to find Him in so many words. It's easy to find Him. God provides us with the Bible. Just as a real practical thing, as you're talking about seeking the Lord, you can't really faithfully and diligently and accurately seek God without the word of God. You know, God has loves us so much. He left 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. He left 66 books for us to seek him, to find him, to get to know him better. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ. He's given us all of these things that we might grow in grace. Like, we're getting ready to go into 2017. So I would encourage you, you know, this past year, 2016, as a church, we encourage you to at least read through the New Testament. And there are different ways you can do it, different patterns to read through the New Testament. I know some of you all did it, or at least I know many of you all started out doing it. I want to encourage you, going into 2017, as we talk about seeking Jesus, seeking God, get on a, you know, some kind of regular reading plan. So just as a church, I'm going to encourage everybody to read through the Old Testament. I know some of you read through the whole Bible every year. But some might say, well, I can't read through the whole Bible. Read through the Old Testament. I want to encourage you in 2017 to read through the Old Testament. That's a way to seek Jesus. That's a way to worship God, to worship Jesus by reading what he has written to you, reading the word of God. This is not rocket science. It's just basically reading the word of God. The more you and I read the word of God, guess what? The more it begins to read us. You can't open up this book. I promise you can't open up this book and begin to read it and it not impact your life in a positive way. It corrects us, it rebukes us, it encourages us, it empowers us. It's the word, it's God's plan. It's God's plan to help to grow us. Amen? So he's given us all we need to seek him, just like he gave them that star, led them to where Jesus was. Watch verse 10. Again, says, they saw that star, they rejoiced and got exceedingly great joy. They rejoiced when they saw the star. You know, even this morning when you were getting ready for church service, do you rejoice? Do you get excited when you're thinking about coming with other believers to worship the Lord God? We should be like the psalmist. The psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They worship with exceeding joy. But see, you got to come to the local assembly with expectation to sing to the Lord, to hear from him through scripture, to hear from him through the preached word of God, to meet with God. So even as you drove here this morning, I'm wondering, what's your expectation? I'm going to come and I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to meet with Jesus. I'm coming to seek him and worship Jesus. I'm going to meet with him. Yeah, I'm going to see some other brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to come with this expectation. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm coming with an expectation. I'm going to come one way and I'm going to leave another way. That's at the end of my message, but I'm going to leave another way. So come with an expectation to see God. An expectation to see Jesus. Don't be like this, brother. Little story. It was his family. It was a husband and a wife and two kids. The little youngest boy was 7 years old, and the mother and the two kids would routinely go to church. You know, every Sunday they would go to church, faithfully go to church. And the daddy would never go. And so the little seven-year-old son, all of them says, Daddy, why don't you come to church with me? Go to church with me. He's always asking. So finally, one Sunday, I'm talking about coming to church with an expectation to see God. Now, one Sunday, the dad was like, yeah, I'll go this Sunday. And so they get in the car, they drive on to church, and the little 7-year-old son, he's so excited. My dad is at church. And so he was just watching his dad during the whole service. He's watching everything his dad did. He watched his dad. It's like when the choir was singing, when he was reading scripture, he watched his dad as the offering plate went by. He was watching his dad. He's watching everything his dad did. He watched his dad, even as the minister was preaching, he's watching his dad. So finally left, church was over, they got back in the car, and the son couldn't wait to ask his dad, Daddy, how did you like service? And the dad was like, well, son, the ushers, they weren't friendly, and the choir, they were kind of off key, you know, the choir, and the preacher, I couldn't understand him, he's up there hollering and spitting, I couldn't understand him, And then the little son was listening and thinking, like I said, he watched everything his dad did. He watched him as the offering plate went by. And he asked his dad, he said, well, Dad, that's still a pretty good deal for a dollar, isn't it? So when you come, you got to bring some, not necessarily money, but you got to bring some expectation. The boy said, that still was a good deal for a dollar. But when you and I come, let's come with expectations to see Jesus. Let's come with an expectation to seek him and to worship him. And so here they are. They got exceedingly glad when they saw the star, and the star led them right to the house in verse 11 and 12. And I'm almost through. And when they had come into the house, another asterisk, you know, with our Christmas decorations. The wise men, they weren't at the stable. They weren't right there that night. They came later on. They came later on. See, it says in the text, and when they had come into the house, they came later on. It might have been as late as 2 years later, perhaps. Or it may have been 6 months, a year, 18, but we don't know exactly. But it was late on. So maybe if you go back home, if you got your shepherds scene, your manger scene, the shepherds there and the angels, the wise men probably right there, move them a little further back. Just move them a little further back. They on their way. But they came into the house. They came into the house. They had moved from the manger scene. But here they come. They came into the house. The magi, these wise men, and wise men seek Jesus. Wise men worship Jesus. Wise women worship and seek Jesus. They went into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. It's still wise to seek Jesus. It's still wise to worship Jesus. Matter of fact, what's an appropriate response to Jesus? It's one of worship. When you and I encounter God, when you and I encounter Christ, an appropriate response is one of worship. An appropriate response is one of adoration. An appropriate response is one of praise and worship and serving him. These wise men, who were basically kind of had a pagan background, these wise men, when they saw, listen, get this picture. When they saw the young child, Jesus, who was less than 2 years old at this time, when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him. Now, I love kids more than anybody else, but I've never, when I've seen a newborn or a 6 month old or a year old, my little year old grandson, when I saw him back in August, I didn't fall down and worship him. I held him and played with him, but I didn't fall down and worship him. I mean, but here it is, Jesus, who is the newborn king, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, even as a little toddler, even as a little child, he demands and needs and receives worship. They worship him. Let's see how they worship him. They open their treasures. They presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they came and they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And because King Herod wanted to kill Jesus, because Mary and Joseph had to flee the country and head into Egypt, they basically used this gold, frankincense, and myrrh to sustain them while they were out of the country for a couple of years. So they bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This morning, beloved, what are you bringing to Jesus? The first and foremost thing he calls all of us to do, Romans 12, we are to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. For this is my reasonable service of duty. So the first thing that you and I should do is give ourselves totally to him. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm just giving you my life, my time, my talents, my treasure. I give it all to you. You know, even the songwriter, even the song says, I give myself away. I was going to try to sing that, but I changed my mind. I see a few reasons. No, no. But we're told, give ourselves away. No, you don't want me to sing. Give ourselves away. That's what we should bring. Ourselves. We don't have to bring necessarily the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We have to bring ourselves. The Lord, here I am. And you know, if he has me, he has all the other stuff. You know, he has me, he has my little bank account and all the other stuff. If he has me, he has all the other stuff. So we ought to come and give ourselves to him. It's wise to still seek him and to worship him. So they came. Listen, their mission was, when we go back to verse 2, their mission was, we've come, we've journeyed this long distance, up to two years almost, they've been traveling roughly somewhere in that about, to worship Jesus. That's what their mission was. We've come to worship Jesus. And I love this text because verse 11, guess what they got to do in verse 11? They got to worship Jesus. Beloved, I'm telling you, if that's your goal today, I'm telling you, I'm going to worship Jesus today. I'm going to worship God today. Guess what? You're able to worship God and to worship Jesus on a 7-day, 24-hour, 365 days a year type routine. I mean, it's no like, I tried to worship today. I tried to spend time with him today, but I just couldn't. No. If you seek him, if you seek to worship him, guess what? You'll be able to worship him. Verse 2, they say, we want to worship Jesus. We don't know how to get there. We follow this star, and we go into this King Herod and all these other things. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we want to worship Jesus. And guess what? Verse 11, they got to worship Jesus. They bought their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then verse 12, and then I'm through. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Don't go back to that fool. I don't use it. The Bible says a fool that said in his heart, there is no God. So I use it in that context. Don't go back to that fool called Herod. They were warned in a dream. So they departed from their own country another way. They went another way. And I know that means they went another way directionally. They didn't go to the exact same way they had come. They went another way. But I want to say a little application this morning. Anytime you come and spend time with Jesus. Anytime you come and worship Jesus, I promise you, you're going to leave another way. You're going to leave another way spiritually or emotionally or mentally. Anytime you come to worship Jesus, anytime you're seeking him and you spend time with Jesus, just like these wise men, you will leave. I should have a witness right there. You will leave another way. You know, sometimes you read the Bible, just read, and you even get to those genealogies or different things. And next thing you know, even in the midst of that, the Lord will speak something to your heart or mind. I mean, when you come to the Word of God, when you come to Jesus, you will leave another way. Somebody ought to be able to testify that you came to Jesus lost, unsaved, on your way to hell, on your way to the lake of fire. But after you met Jesus, you left there saved, sanctified, satisfied, justified because you met Jesus. Somebody ought to be able to say that you came to Jesus stressed out, but left there feeling some shalom, feeling some peace. I didn't say cologne, I said shalom, feeling some peace. Somebody came to Jesus wearied, worn, and sad, and left there feeling rested. Matter of fact, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So somebody came to Jesus all burdened down, but you took, since he's a heavy load, Sarah, you can leave with less burdens. Somebody came to Jesus full of sorrows. And it's often been written, it was even said earlier by someone, this time of year, oftentimes, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas and these family holidays and different holidays, a lot of times, a lot of people are dealing with depression and some sorrows and things like that. But if we take those things to Jesus, as we take those things to Jesus, we can come feeling sorry, but leave there with some joy. He can give us joy in the midst of sorrows, peace in the midst of a storm. You can come to Jesus with all of your cares, all of your cares. All your cares, leave them with him and leave them with less things, less of those cares burden you down. Matter of fact, he said, bring all of your cares to me. Jesus said, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. The newborn king, the one who was born in a manger, lived a perfect life, died for us, buried, rose again. He said, he cares for you and me. You can go to him hopeless, hopeless. Even just last Saturday when we were at the community kitchen, many of us were there and talking with some of the people there. Some were somewhat hopeless. But you can come even hopeless and leave Christ with some hope because he indeed is the one that can give you and me some hope. You can come to him bound, shackled, and leave your loosed, unbound, and unshackled. I ought to have a few witnesses. You can come to Jesus one way and leave there a different way. Leave there another way. Leave there once again bound, but leave there set free. Matter of fact, the scripture says, you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. You can go there depressed and leave there having your depression lifted. wise men, wise women still seek him, still worship him. It's wise to seek him and to worship him. This morning, I'm just saying, whatever your situation is, just come to Jesus, this newborn king. Come to Jesus, this newborn king. Have a little talk with him. And yes, he can and he will make everything all right. I'm not telling you he's going to take all of your troubles away, but guess what? He will teach you how to exist in the midst of your troubles. He'll teach you he'll give you enough strength. Matter of fact, when Paul prayed three times that the thorn would be removed from the flesh, and we don't know what that really was, but he prayed three times and God said, I'm not going to remove it. Jesus said, I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to remove it. And if that was a period and that was the end, we would leave here kind of sad this morning. He said, I'm not going to remove it. But guess what? He said, my grace is sufficient, that my power is made manifest in your weakness. So whatever your thorn in the flesh might be, God may not remove it. But his grace, I promise you that. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It's wise to seek him and to worship him. This Christ child. Merry Christmas. Once again, Christmas. C stands for Christ. H is holy. R is redeemer and reconciler. I stands for he's invincible. He's incredible. He's irresistible. The S in Christmas stands, he is the Son of God. He is Savior. He is sovereign. The T in Christmas, he is our truth. The M in Christmas, he's a mighty God. He's magnificent. The A in Christmas, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He's the all-powerful. He's the almighty. And the S in Christmas, Christ indeed is the supplier of all of your needs. He's also sustainer. So if you want to think about what is the true meaning of Christmas, the handouts you got that we went over at the very beginning of service, look through those today. Look up those Bible verses and know that Christ is indeed all that we need, and it's still wise. It's still why, even in this 21st century, when people try to, marginalize Christ and marginalize Christianity, I promise you, beloved, it's still wise to seek him and to worship him. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise. It's wise to seek him and worship him. Stand with me if you can.